fighting for America.
I believe in the power of millions of courageous conservatives rising up to reignite the promise of America. And that is why I am announcing that I'm running for President of the United States.
Fighting for Idaho.
Get over your temper tantrum, Mr. President. It's time that we work together with our Israeli friends and try to stem this tide of ISIS.
Fighting for you.
What are we doing here? We're putting rules in statute to define medical practice. You guys want to be doctors? Be careful.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hey, hope you're having a great day. A little out of breath. It's our program here in the morning. We're doing fitness during our live video feeds. Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. A few questions we are asking. Go to our website, 580kido.com. Do Idaho teachers deserve a raise? 69% of you say yes. Other people say 25%, something like that. I'm tired of talking about education. Trying to think of anything else. 11 reasons why Kellen Moore should have his number retired. Should Ted Cruz, can Ted Cruz win? Those are available on our website. You can follow me at Twitter, at Kevin Miller Show. Follow the station at 580kido. Joining us now, though, is the president of Treasure Valley Racing, Mr. John Sheldon. Mr. Sheldon, thank you for joining us. Good to have you with us this morning.
Good morning.
I wish it were under better circumstances. You've been making a lot of news lately.
Yeah, we have, actually.
Well, let's talk about the future of the racing here in the Treasure Valley. A few years ago, LeBlanc came back, people were excited, the horses were rolling, money was coming in, and now we're to believe that if the machines go away that were just put in, it could be over.
Yeah, and that's true. If historic racing goes away, if Senate Bill 1011 passes, we will close LeBlanc on June 30th of this year.
Well, those are pretty strong statements, and would you like to expound on that?
Sure. Back in 2011, when the ownership group first got involved, their goal was to make LeBlanc Park one of the premier tracks in the Northwest, and they soon realized that without another revenue source, that was going to be impossible. The live meet was losing almost $1 million a year, and so they looked around the country, and historic racing had been very successful in Arkansas, where it was developed. And at that point, also in Kentucky, at a place called Kentucky Downs. So they went back and looked at the operation, looked at how it worked, convinced themselves that it was something that may work in Idaho, gathered the information, put a packet together, got it submitted to the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General responded with a letter that, based on the information they received, which included not only the specifications of historic racing, the history of historic racing, but also pictures of the terminals, the evolution of terminals from what they started with to what was current in 2012. They got a letter back from the Attorney General, said based on that package, historic racing being parimutuel would be legal under the Constitution in Idaho, and they moved forward. They used that letter and that packet of information to educate legislators in 2013. The law ultimately passed. They took that passage of the law as a step in the right direction and provided the confidence to go out and invest millions of dollars last year to create a facility for historic racing, get it up and running. We opened the end of May. We've been up and running now since then. And now the legislature started this year, and the Coeur d'Alene Indians proposed a bill to repeal that law that was just passed 2 years ago and end historic racing.
Mr. John Sheldon with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning here at 580KIDO. Now, the people that brought LeBlanc back, did those people that brought the track back, didn't they sell their interest to a local concern?
No, it originally was a partnership between the Green Group, which operates the Coeur d'Alene facility, and a group of Idaho businessmen, Harry Bettis, Larry Williams, Robert Rebholz, Linda Yonke, Jim Grigsby, and then I joined the group in June of 2013.
Well, I know, wasn't Bear Bryant Jr. involved in this as well?
Yeah, he's the one that owns the Green Group, which they're based out of Alabama, and they operate the Greyhound facility up in Post Falls.
Well, and y'all in this group do your due diligence, so you bring it back, the revenue's rolling in, but it's not enough, so the machines are approved. Now you have the tribe that has an issue with it. You know, did people overestimate the value of racing here in the Treasure Valley?
I don't think so. Last year, I mean, we get 100,000 people through the gate every year. I don't understand your question.
Well, I guess the question is, and I'm with all due respect, if the racing can't make it on its own, why is it here?
Well, racing can make it on its own. The issue is some way to contribute to the purse account. If you own a horse, you want to go to where you can run your horse for the most money. Idaho was stuck in the bottom rungs of purse accounts across the country for a number of years. We were able to double the purse account from 2013 to 2014 with just the amount of historic racing we had in 2014. And that attracted a lot more horses. We were running for $2,000 a race in 2013. And in 2014, it went up to over $5,000 a race. That allows people to come in here and campaign horses throughout the summer and actually make some money.
Now I understand it, Mr. Sheldon. I get it now, because before I was thinking, well, you know, we had heard all the earned media reports. A lot of people like going to your park. Certainly, it's been welcomed back here in the Treasure Valley. People love going on Derby Day and other days as well. And then all of a sudden you hear that without the gaming machines, that the park would close. So now I get it. You have to have the revenue from those machines to entice people to come here because, hey, horse racing is great, but you got to make money.
Right. And okay. We increased purses over 900,000 between 2013 and 2014. I mean, if you use Gary Stevens, a Boise native, for example, he's one of the best jockeys in the world. He's going to go ride where he can make the most money, and that means in races where the purses are the biggest, like the Kentucky Derby or the Breeders' Cup, or this weekend you got California Chrome running in a $10 million race in Dubai. The big purses attract the best horses, the best jockeys, and the best trainers. And as we inch our way up the economic scale of purses, we'll do the same thing. We'll attract horses as well. One of the challenges we're faced with is historic racing was also approved in Wyoming, so they have it over there. They have a few small race meets. Their purses will go up. It was also approved in Oregon. We expect the same thing to happen in Oregon. But last year, for the first time, we had a trainer that lives in Caldwell but could never run here because the purse money was so low. So he ran in California, Denver, and was based out of Phoenix. And I expect to see him back this year. So what the increased purse money has is it allows us to attract more horses, better fields, and a better product for our customer.
What's the economic impact that LeBlanc brings to the Treasure Valley, sir?
Last year, we had at the peak, we had 271 jobs at the park. There's another 250 to 300 jobs that are included in taking care of the horses. We typically stable about 800 horses in the summer. And so you got the farriers, the grooms, the exercise riders, the jockeys, all that kind of function. Then we paid almost $1 million in taxes last year just at LeBlanc Park, and that doesn't include what was paid at the Coeur d'Alene at the Post Falls facility or over in Sandy Downs at the Idaho Falls facility. Our projections going out two more years in 15 and 16 see that the taxes are going to more than double between 14 and 15. In fact, we'll be up to almost right around $4 million, and then if our growth continues, we expect to have a total tax contribution in the state of almost $7 million for all three facilities in 2016.
John Sheldon with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO, talking about the future of LeBlanc Park. How do you expect this vote to go?
I don't know. Right now, the past few days, we've been working hard trying to educate House members. We'll continue that today right up to the vote. It's on the third reading calendar today, so there may be a vote today. It was on the calendar yesterday, and we'll just continue to work the legislators in the House to try to educate them to the benefits of horse racing in Idaho and the potential impacts if it goes away.
It does seem odd that the machines get in, and then all of a sudden they're given the boot.
Yeah, I mean, it sends a strong anti-business message to anybody that's thinking of bringing a business to Idaho, expanding a business in Idaho, or even has a business in Idaho. I mean, this legislature and the governor have always been pro-business, pro-growth, and this vote's really anti-business and anti-growth.
It comes down to gambling. The critics say that these are gambling machines. How do you respond to that, sir?
Well, they are. I mean, pari-mutuel gambling's been legal in Idaho since 1961, I think. The lottery's a form of gambling. The Indian tribes have gambling machines at their reservations. They're the ones that brought this bill forward. It wasn't a concerned citizen. It was the Coeur d'Alene tribe.
And they have a lot of influence?
I don't know how much influence they have, but they certainly have a vested interest in protecting their competitive advantage.
Well, Mr. Sheldon, anything else that you'd like to share with us today?
I just hope that the House members vote no on Senate Bill 1011. It'll eliminate, you know, almost 500 jobs at LaBoie Park. It's going to forego millions of dollars in tax revenue over the next couple of years, and it's going to have a severe impact on horse racing in Idaho. It'll eliminate it in Boise, and you know, I've been going to the horse races since the mid-70s, having grown up here, and it's a great source of entertainment. We have a website out there that has all the information on it for anybody that wants to look at it.
Okay, and if you have that website, you can share it with us.
It's isupportlaboiepark.com.
All right, Mr. Sheldon, we'd love to have you back. We appreciate you making time for us.
No problem. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, there you have it. John Sheldon with us, giving his side of the story about gambling at LaBoie Park. And I'm glad that, and thank you, Ray, for getting him on. I'm glad that Mr. Sheldon came on because, again, I'm sitting here talking about gambling, and we're talking about gambling. And on the other hand, we're taking a look at this and saying to ourselves, if the track can't make it on its own, why do we have the track? And when you have someone, and look, I covered Bear Bryant Jr. in Alabama, and I go, you're going to go, oh, Kevin, this is Idaho, not Alabama. I get that, but he's one of the richest men in that area of the country, and they don't just come to Idaho because they're not going to make money in this green group. So on one hand, you have the tribe saying no ticky, no punchy when it comes to the gambling. And on the other hand, you have community leaders very concerned about this and the expansion of gambling. But as Mr. Sheldon said, and he did tell us this at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that the lottery is a form of gambling. So do you go down to jobs, horse racing, or gambling?
You take 100 people and take them into the turf club and ask them where they are, they're going to tell you they're in a casino, most of them.
That's our friend Mayor John Evans of Garden City. And we've had people smacking this show on social media, yapping about this issue involving, you know, getting rid of jobs. So it comes down to losing jobs at 580-5436 or saying yes.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night.
When I started 30 years ago, I'm going to tell you, we didn't have a state lottery. There was no Indian casinos. There was not internet gambling. We couldn't even watch a horse race. If we ran a horse out of state, guess what? If we wanted to watch him, we drove to Los Angeles or to Phoenix. We certainly didn't just click on the computer and pull it up. So all of these things have happened that have had a negative impact on the horse racing business in the state of Idaho.
There we have it. As the House continues to debate the future of LaBoie, you heard from the president here today that jobs will be lost if, in fact, LaBoie does not is not allowed to have these historic gaming machines. Now, again, I'm not a bright person. I don't have the business acumen of Mrs. Miller, who's been running her business for over 30 years. But, you know, you obviously this area was a prime real estate spot. You have the Green Group. You have these local interests that come in. They form a partnership. We hear nothing but wonderful news from the Happy Talk Radio Press. Now we find out that if the machines go bust, LeBois is done, jobs are lost, and so much for horse racing in the Treasure Valley. And you have the comments of Garden City Mayor, the ubiquitous, the enigmatic, the charismatic Mayor Evans.
You take 100 people and take them into the turf club and ask them where they are, they're going to tell you they're in a casino, most of them.
We go to the phones. Doug in CUNA at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, sir. Hey, I just think our state legislature, you know, they approved the gaming machines, what was it, 2 years ago, I believe? And they turned right back around, and they're debating whether they should outlaw them again. To me, it just goes to show that they didn't do their due diligence when they approved the bill in the first place.
Well, where's the – let's expand on that. Where's the dummy meter here? Because, okay, was it the legislators that didn't know what they were approving? Was it the people that brought the track in that apparently they allocated for money for purses from these machines? They figured that wouldn't be a problem? I mean, you know, who made the bad call at the line of scrimmage, Doug?
I believe it was the state legislature. You know, you can't make a law, and, you know, people, especially the investors in LeBois and the other different parks, they made investments based on the state legislature's decision. And so now the state legislature wants to come back and reverse their decision 2 years later after those people made those investments. To me, that's wrong. And now when you start talking about, you know, it's going to eliminate 200, 300, 400 jobs, it doesn't sound like much, but that could be a huge impact on the economy in Boise.
Well, I agree with you. And, again, I go back to the due diligence here at 580KIDO. You know, let's take a look at one of the legislators. Let's hear what they have to say.
Mr. Chairman, looking at everything that has gone on, that we've all of the testimony that we've heard, and my own visit to the Turf Club at LeBois last weekend, I cannot escape the fact that these are electronic simulations of slot machines.
Right, and here's the other one. And, you know, total full disclosure, you had the tribe brought this bill to the forefront. It's kind of like Uber bringing the bill that's going to allow them to get around the city of Boise restrictions. If you have the money, you make the play.
Well, I think it's the Indians bringing the case, I guess. They want to protect their interests.
Sure.
Because at this point, they're the only game in town, or they were the only game in town, so to speak. So, you know, I understand them want to protect their interests, but I think it's, well, it's almost like the federal government approving Obamacare. You know, they're still trying to write the fine print of Obamacare. And that's not the way our government was designed. We were supposed, the bills are supposed to be written, read by everyone involved that's going to be voting on it before they vote. I mean, you can put language into a bill, and they've done it, where, you know, they put language in a bill that it kills commerce of one type or another in the fine print. And they need to get back to doing their due diligence. We elect them to do a job.
Well,
that job is
right.
To review.
And, Doug, my thought goes out to those people, poor people that might lose their jobs. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Great always having Doug back. He was here, then left. He's been back for many years. Good to have him with us. And good to have you with us here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We've heard from Mr. Sheldon from Treasure Valley Racing. We'll have more comments here from the committee. But, you know, who's at fault? Well, Kevin, in the world that we live in today, there is no fault. Except if you're that poor person that thought they had a good job, and all of a sudden that job's going away. Now, on the other hand, we go back to Mayor Evans, who is always a character. We need to get him back on.
You take 100 people and take them into the turf club and ask them where they are, they're going to tell you they're in a casino.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men.
And good morning. It is Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Dave Burnett with us. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
Breaking news yesterday, Bo Bergdahl to be charged by the Army. Any thoughts?
Well, you know, it's a process which has taken a little longer than I thought it would, but it's a process we expected from the military. Now they'll go ahead and deal with the case and what is the equivalent of the grand jury of the military. So I guess for me, and I thought this last night, then I heard it reiterated this morning on the early show on KIDO in the 4 o'clock hour by a military expert, that, and I thought the same thing last night, surprised at the way the national media has just gone crazy over this story. I mean, it's the headline on everything and all the national news is, where when he was in captivity, nobody even knew who he was.
Right.
And now it's the big salacious story. I mean, we have the new president of Afghanistan in country talking about the future, where we go forward here. And some surprising things in there just as far as our remaining in Afghanistan, our involvement there. Nobody's even talking about that. And what really matters when it comes down to it? What happens to one man from Haley, Idaho, and what he did? Or what happens with their national policy towards Afghanistan?
Right.
But yet we're all excited to blow the Bergdahl thing up. Now, in Idaho, I get it. He's an Idaho kid, so there's a little more attention here. But if you're in Des Moines, what do you care?
Well, I think I know the reason why. It's because of the controversy involving his release.
Mm-hmm.
The statements by Susan Rice saying that he served with honor and distinction. And now you have the possibility of 5 years or the rest of his life in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's a major talking point against the president.
Well,
I mean, perhaps rightly so, that the president allowed these Taliban fighters to be free. And now Bo Bergdahl is charged with desertion and misbehavior with the enemy.
Yeah, which is the bigger of the two charges. Now, what I find fascinating is listening to some of the talking heads on one of the cable networks yesterday afternoon, and they were talking on, you know, about the prisoner exchange and the five Taliban fighters, blah, 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 as if Bo Bergdahl arranged the trade. You know, it's like, no, wait a minute. The administration arranged the trade. Bo would stand responsible for whatever his actions were, and we don't totally know. We know more today than we did before what happened during part of his captivity, but you know, the trade was arranged by the administration. It wasn't Bo Bergdahl who made the trade.
Well, I think people blame him for starting this whole thing. You have the accusations that men were killed searching for him.
But do we know if that's true or not?
That's why there are accusations, mm-hmm. and that leads into it. And a lot of it has been led by our bread and butter here at 580KIDO, which is conservative radio. And you have people, and we, you know, you covered this at 580KIDO.com. I covered it last night on Bo Bergdahl's future. By the way, we have a poll. What do you think should happen to him? We'd love to get your thoughts on that.
But all these folks that are instant experts that have never been to Haley, that have never talked to the Bergdahls, that have seen Mr. Bergdahl and the president and Mrs. Bergdahl, and you have people saying, gee, I wonder if the president's going to bring Bo into the Truman balcony and everything else. I sit back and I think to myself, if I didn't know the Bergdahls, and you and I have had many conversations, maybe I'd feel the same way, the visual and everything else. I mean, Mr. Bergdahl, as we've talked about, is not your orthodox guy when it comes to his appearance and his mannerisms and everything else.
Yeah. And, you know, it's fascinating what has happened to the town of Haley in that.
They've taken a beating.
They have. You know, the Chamber of Commerce there, the businesses that were in support of their, you know, the kid from their hometown, they've taken worse than a beating. They've taken some real, you know, with the cowardice of social media where people are able to attack without, you know, revealing their identity. There's been some really nasty, harsh things said.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, I, and again, you go back to, you know, the website there where I'm writing about it, and I said I want to thank everybody that, even though at the time there were a lot of questions about Sergeant Bergdahl, that they supported him. You have our friend Dwight Murphy, who does a lot of things for charity, a veteran, when he's not working his two or three jobs, supporting the Bergdahls. You have Lance with the MIA people. And I can recall the 4th of July parade where I'm at, and there's Lance out there with his bum knee in his biker leathers handing out Bo Bergdahl stickers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll probably post the video of the big rally we had for Bo, and that shouldn't be lost, okay? If Bo Bergdahl's determined he made a mistake, so be it. But it's so easy to quickly condemn and quickly say all these bad things. Remember, what was it? Carole King was going to come to town and have the Bo Bergdahl party. And remember, everybody was happy. Everybody was ready to go. And then, boom, it all went bad, which military people had warned you and had warned me about many times about being involved. Kerry Patton, before he had kids and left us here at 580KIDO, he would talk about Bergdahl and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, I think there's a couple of sides to it. It's the military issue, and for those who are veterans, number one, thank you for your service, and a different perspective. If you have gone to Afghanistan, if you've gone to Iraq, if you've served in war, you know, perhaps have a different perspective than I do, not being a veteran. So, you know, and everyone is entitled to their opinion. But, you know, some people, I've just heard some people coldly say, they should put them to death. They should kill them. Give them the needle.
Give him the needle.
Yeah, I mean, people have said that.
Right.
That he's a treasoner, he should be put to death. Okay, really? All right, if that's your opinion. And there are people who have called this show what we call our P1s. You know, people who are devout listeners to this show that right now are clawing at their radio to get to me, you know, that feel that that's the way it should be dealt with. And especially for those who are veterans, very different opinion than I have, just because of perspective of where you've been and where I, you know, where I've been. I don't get it, perhaps, as well. But, you know, it's something that I felt from the very beginning that I wanted to see any American who's been held brought home. I'm of the opinion that had Bo Bergdahl not been released when he was, we probably would have seen him on TV getting his head lopped off.
Right.
With ISIS and what's going on now. ISIS would have gotten a hold of him. He would have been a trophy for ISIS.
Well, and again, you have a lot of people that believe that that should have happened, that have, again, become, we've have this, and we see this with the libs, and we're seeing this with due respect to the conservatives, instantly judging this guy. And I think, apparently Bill O'Reilly's been all over this story because he was queuing about it last night. Apparently the military and Bergdahl's attorney were trying to cut a deal. That didn't happen, and now we have the charges. And they commended the Army for not backing down to pressure from the administration to cut a deal or not to charge him. You know, Christy Perry's in hot water because she said that, hey, he did 5 years in his attorney's letter. He talks about the wounds and everything else. He's done enough. That's an interesting conversation there that – here you have a state representative, Christy Perry, like third in leadership already, saying, hey, he did 5 years with the Taliban. Isn't that enough? I think that's a valid point for discussion.
Oh, I think that will be, you know, a point. I mean, will he wind up getting pay taken away, which there's over $500,000 involved here. Will he get pay taken away? Will he be court-martialed and get out of here? Or will they lock him up? And no matter what the decision is, either way, there'll be controversy over it. You know, and in part because I do believe, in my mind, I do believe the president helped arrange this and got this done, in part thinking it was going to be a very positive political coup for him.
On the other hand, let's continue on here at 580 KIDO. The president and everybody else said, we don't negotiate with terrorists.
Which has always been our stance.
Right. Well, who do we negotiate to get to bring a bow home?
Well, with terrorists.
Right. And I would like to say, and I think the bad part about this is I think the president is now reluctant to do anything concerning Pastor Saeed and other Americans. You had to remember Laura Silsby, and I don't know if you agreed with me on that or not, where we had the seven missionaries detained down in Haiti, and the administration pretty much blamed them. You remember that from the...
Oh, yeah, I do. And we did. We disagreed on some points of that. You and I did at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we very openly disagreed on certain points. Not all of it, but certain points. But yeah, I mean, so now, that you know, the interesting thing is what does the administration, do they run from this? Which I think they kind of are.
Well, I mean, last night, and again, on our website, we linked to Susan Rice's statement. He served with honor and distinction. Okay, is the administration wrong, or is Susan Rice wrong?
Well, at this point, if you were to ask the president, it'd be, Bo who?
Right.
Bo Jackson?
Who? Right.
You know, that's where it'd come down from, because you got to politically distance yourself as far from controversy as you can, especially when you have developed that controversy.
Right.
So it'll be fascinating to watch what happens in the coming days. I mean, for the Bergdahl family, for Bo Bergdahl himself, for those who are friends and loved ones, a tough time. A tough time to watch somebody you care about go through what he's got to go through. What will they do? Will they just slap his hand? Will they consider 5 years in Taliban captivity enough payment for the mistake you made? You know, and was it a mistake he made? Was it a judgment in error? Or was it a plan that went south on him? We don't know that.
Well, and the fact that we still don't know if he has talked to his parents or not.
Yeah, I've heard that he has by phone, but not face-to-face, but I don't know. But what, that's just chatter. I don't know.
Right.
So obviously there's still some issues there. But again, that's between family members. If you wanted to delve into all my family, holy cow, that'd be like three shows worth. I've got a circus for a family.
That'd be very entertaining.
No, it really wouldn't. It really wouldn't. So, you know, that's the question. Has Bo served enough? Or
well,
are they going to, or, you know, and that, I guess the thing that I rest easier in, I think, I don't know, you know, obviously there's politics involved, but I think the military will deal with them as they see fit and not be as influenced by the media as perhaps a regular court would. You think I'm right or wrong on that?
You know, I can't make a call. I can just make a I just go back to all the people that have given so much. I see both sides of it, really.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, there are men and women. There are some who have given all, as the country song says. There are those who have given all in that fight for freedom, and I can totally understand where if you have lost a son or a daughter in the war and you look and see what happened there, you could be very bitter and angry about it. I can totally get that.
Right.
But I also see where if you're a parent and you had a child, a son or daughter who made some bad choices, you know, where your heart would go out and it'd be like, enough already.
Well, and who hasn't made bad choices?
Oh, you want to line up my bad choices? It goes back to my family again. It started there. So,
well, and for people that need a refresher here, let's go to our own colleague, Megyn Kelly, not to be confused with Linda from Emmett.
But then he walked away in the middle of Afghanistan on the farthest front lines you could be on to go seek out the Taliban.
You feel that was an affront to you, that to say that his service was with honor,
I mean,
and distinction?
It's saying that that's honorable, saying that walking away, and whatever his agenda was in trying to connect with the Taliban, explain to me how that's honorable. I mean, that's a
They seem to be trying to predate it.
I mean, that's spitting in the face to everyone who deployed came back.
That's every and that goes for every serviceman.
Yeah.
Every
single not even us or his company. Every single person that's in the military.
Well, what do you make of these reports?
See, and that is why Bo Bergdahl is the big story.
It still just amazes me, though. Yeah, but it amazes me. There's so many things going on, and that's what everybody wants to focus on. And I think it's because it's just kind of salacious.
Where were these people when I was walking, Dave Burnett? Where were you when I was walking?
I was resting with my feet up somewhere, having a nice, cool drink.
I see.
That's where I was, buddy.
Now, before we go to traffic here, we want to let everybody know today is promoting our schools. We'll have some homeschoolers in today. Very happy about that. Who you going with, Kentucky or West Virginia? Do they play tonight or tomorrow?
Boy,
my brackets are
so broken, I don't know.
They either play tonight or tomorrow. Now, it's interesting because Bob Huggins has had some success. Mm-hmm. Against Kentucky, and he does that half-court trap crazy kind of defense.
I think Kentucky wins, but I'm not counting on them winning at all.
Right.
I think when they get down to the Final Four, they will stumble.
Hmm.
That's what my brackets are betting, but I don't know. We'll see. I've kind of lost interest.
It's always fun when that dominant team all of a sudden gets, chokes a little.
Well, when you got one game, it can happen. You got, five guys on the court, one game, it can happen. So, yeah, March Madness fires back up again today. Traffic now as you're coming up.
And coming up next, we'll take a look at homeschooling in the Gem State, Bo Bergdahl sentence, and the 9/11 report, what it all means. That before 9 a.m. Stay tuned.